Chapter 24. Adamantua.
"We've been on the surface 6 weeks," said Severance. "At least I presume it's about that long. Gravity distortion is so prolific, planet-side, I feel we can't trust any other laws. Several suit chronometers are showing significant time variances. This world is not aligned with the natural flow of the cosmos."
"Increasingly so," Daylight agreed. 6 weeks is a reasonable estimate. We've been in transit roughly that long from Terra."
"Who's with you?" asked Severance.
"Everything that was left. The phalanx is emptied and the walls of the palace are bare. We've got a decent fleet support and a substantial guard cohort."
Severance shook his head.
"I can't believe we've left the walls bare. I can't. If Mirren..."
"Does the beloved chapter master still live?" asked Daylight.
Severance shrugged.
"My wall made an emergency drop to the surface via teleport when the Amculon was holed. It was an extreme measure, and I would rather not have abandoned the vessel."
Daylight saw that Captain Severance carried a battered teleport locator on his harness. A power light showed that it was still, futilely, activated.
"By the time we were down, we were blind," Severance continued. "The gravity storm had closed in. We've been scouring the surface for survivors or contacts ever since. We saw dropships, storm birds. That's what brought us this way."
"You must have been in the vicinity already," said Zarathustra.
"Yes," said Severance. "We managed to identify this zone, despite the geological upheavals, as the site of the original blister nest, so my wall has been section-searching the area to look for survivors."
"And ammunition?" remarked Severance's second-in-command, Merciful. His tone was mordant.
Daylight smiled. He was amused that both he and Severance had independently lighted on the same strategy. It reassured him that the core training of the chapter was both profound and reliable.
"Have you found anything?" asked Zarathustra.
"A few pitiful dead," replied Merciful, "crushed by the tormented planet or overthrown by the Chromes."
"They're not the real enemy," said Severance.
"What do you mean?" asked Tranquility.
"The Chromes are just a hazard and the cause of our undertaking here," Severance replied. "But there's something else. Something that wasn't here before. You can feel it. You can hear its voice on the wind."
As if to underscore his remark, noise bursts echoed across the valley.
"Substantiate that," said Daylight very directly.
"I cannot," Severance replied. "It's a gut feeling."
"The walls do not deal in gut feelings," said Daylight. "The shield core relies on what is verifiable."
He looked at Severance uneasily. Perhaps the brother had been here too long, subjected to the extremities of the environment. Perhaps gravity, or one of the other natural or even unnatural forces being twisted and convoluted on Adamantua, had affected his personality or his brain chemistry. Where Daylight had felt reassured by the overlap of their tactical decisions, he now felt a distance, as if the bond of the shield and wall did not connect them at all.
"Have you seen the shape in the sky?" Severance asked.
"What?"
"No," said Daylight. "Some things cannot be substantiated," said Severance.
He rose from where he'd been sitting on the boulders scattered at the shore and gestured Daylight to follow him. Daylight did so reluctantly. The pair clambered up an outcrop overlooking the dark mirror of the lake.
"Wait," said Severance.
"Look." "At what? What am I looking at? The sky?"
"No, look at the lake.
You asked if I'd seen the thing in the sky."
"Be patient, Daylight. It comes and goes."
They waited. Daylight felt he was wasting valuable time.
"Look," said Severance.
The scudding, racing cloud cover, moving across the heavens like a black lava flow, parted briefly, riven by the wind and orbital disruption. Sunlight speared through in a pale beam. The sky beyond the cloud was white and blank, like static. There was nothing to be seen. But in the lake. Daylight started. It was there and gone in an instant, but he had seen it. He reset his visor recorder for immediate playback, and then froze the image. Therein, the clouds were parted, drawn like drapes to show a colourless sky where nothing resided. In the reflection below, however, trapped in the surface of the lake, The patch of bright sky did contain something. Something large and ominous, an orb that seemed to press down on the wounded planet. It was a moon. A black, ungodly, hideous moon.